Yes. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is John Johnson on Radio Edutalk. Tonight, I am delighted to be meeting virtually with Fergal Kelly, who is a very well-kent educator in Scotland. Good evening, Fergal.
Good evening, John.
And I hope you're well and ready to do a wee bit of talking. What we'd like to start off with is just give people a sort of brief flavour of your background in life and education, I guess.
Okay. I've been a teacher since 2002. I did my teacher training at Exeter University. I taught in England for 3 years. Then I did a year in Namibia with VSO as an advisory teacher. Came to Scotland in 2006, so I've been a Scottish teacher for nearly 10 years. Mainly in East Lothian, so I've taught in 3 different East Lothian schools. I've been a local authority development officer. I've been an acting PTE biology, but my substantive post at the minute is biology teacher at Preston Lodge High School. But I'm currently on a short secondment to the Scottish College for Educational Leadership. I've been doing some work for them around teacher leadership, which is the focus for tonight.
Yeah, brilliant. Quite a mixed career, all over the place. I can't even pronounce it, never mind visit it.
I'd never heard of it, to be honest, before we got sent there.
So. Brilliant, yeah. It sounds as if that'd be quite a different set of challenges than we're facing in Scottish education at the moment.
Surprisingly similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Scottish scale, Scottish
college. Leadership, yeah.
Yeah. You maybe want to start off and tell us a wee bit about your role there and what scale is and things.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's interesting about your pause there is that not a lot of folk have necessarily heard of it yet. It's quite a new organisation. Mm-hmm. It's coming up to its second birthday. It's actually really one of the action points in the Donaldson report, mm-hmm. the Teaching Scotland's Future report, which talks a bit about leadership for learning at all levels, and it talks about setting up a college for leadership in education in Scotland. And so that's where skills come from. That's why it exists. And I think there's so because it's quite new and it's still quite wee, that has meant that not everyone's heard of it yet. But also, if folk have heard of it, they quite think of it, but it's something to do with head teachers.
Mm, yeah,
and I think that's an issue around the word leadership, but also a lot of their focus so far has been on head teachers. It's been they set up a fellowship program for existing and experienced head teachers. They're currently heavily involved in the Interheadship program at the minute, which for all new head teachers going forward. So that kind of also feeds into that perception. But they're beginning to, I mean, the view of educational leadership at scale is leadership of learning at all levels, just as in the Donaldson report and the revised standards. And so they're beginning to expand the work that they do. So they've recently launched a framework for educational leadership, which is an online resource which supports people working at all levels. And that one of their next big focus is going to be around teacher leadership, and so that's what my work has been about.
So just before we go on to maybe talk a wee bit about that, can I just say to anybody listening on Twitter, we'll try and watch, and if you tweet with the hashtag Edutalk, we'll try and pick it up. If you get any questions for Virgo, we'll try and address those. It seems almost like a contradiction in terms, teacher leadership, if you think of it, because you would normally think of teachers following the lead of their head teacher.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. It's been it's come up a few times, the word leadership, because the session that I've been doing is going out and engaging with folk around, well, what is this thing, teacher leadership? and then later in the conversation, on what's needed to develop it. And the word leadership has come up as a barrier on quite a few occasions, because some people think of it as senior management teams, effectively, and PTs, promoted posts, and that can be an issue when you're trying to discuss it. And also, if people aren't thinking that, quite often they are also. They're thinking in terms of taking on a responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, so Duke of Edinburgh or Eco Group or, you know, something that's above and beyond the role of a classroom teacher that maybe not everyone is doing.
Leading a wee section or a development in school, I guess.
And to be honest with you, because I was doing an engagement, I was quite keen to not present a definition too early in the process. And so that sometimes created a bit of frustration from people taking part, because I'd be asking them what does teacher leadership look like, and they're saying, but you haven't told us what it is yet. And so there would be a little bit of attention there, and people would come up with quite different perspectives. By and large, though, people came up with the sorts of features that is in the definition that I did share later in the session, which I took from the SCEL framework that I already mentioned. And in that, it's essentially about being a really accomplished teacher and sharing that and collaborating with those around you and contributing to the development of the whole school. It's much longer than that. And most people either, that's what they had thought as well. A teacher leader is someone who's really passionate and committed to learning and teaching and shares that and spreads that with their colleagues and collaborates with their colleagues effectively. But even those who didn't come at it from that angle, who came at it from more of either management or leadership of tasks, quite often then when presented with it said, actually no, I quite like that concept of it being about learning and teaching first and foremost. But it was an issue that came up a lot. One of the points I was making in the sessions, because some people would say, you know, when you've got this definition of being a really good teacher, effectively is what it is. It's two sides of A4, but that's effectively what it is. And the question was, well, why do we need to be using this phrase teacher leadership? What is, you know, why do we need that? My point was, well, two things. One, does it really matter? If we can agree that that's what we're wanting, that definition of being a teacher, if we all can agree on that, then let's not get hung up in the language too much. But my other point was, quite often, particularly in secondary schools, you hear complaints about the teaching commitment of the senior management team or the senior leadership team. You know, so around the fact that head teachers or deputies don't teach much, if at all. And, you know, I've heard grumblings often in the past myself around that. And so if these people have never taught in Curriculum for Excellence, then how are they able to lead on classroom practice? And quite often what these people, that conversation is leading to is that they should be teaching more. But there's a reason they don't. And my argument is actually perhaps the people who do this day in, day out could be, are the experts in classroom practice and perhaps could be playing a bigger role in the development of that in their schools, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I suppose you're then looking at senior leadership as more of a management rather than classroom leadership role, is that?
I'm not sure. There's obviously a management role, but I don't think that, because leadership is complex and multifaceted. You know, I think if you were a senior leadership, if you were a head teacher, and you were able to, in your school, have teachers being leaders of classroom practice and mm-hmm. and being empowered to contribute to the development of classroom practice in their school, I would say that was some mighty fine school leadership that was incurring, you know, from that head teacher. That's way beyond management for me.
Yeah, okay, so maybe I'm thinking of, well, it'd be... Yeah, it's just where you cut that definition, I guess, but I think you're on the same page. I was thinking more that what a manager does would enable his skilled teachers to lead in the teaching and learning bit.
I think that's leadership.
It's just what they're leading on, or you know, what level they're doing things and stuff.
Exactly, like, yeah. And I think this is a bit of a shift that, you know, I think we do need this shift because to lead and manage a school is a massive ask. Every head teacher I've looked at, I'm in awe of head teachers that I've worked with. Actually watching them do it, you think, how on earth, how do they do this? Because it's such a massive ask. And at the same time, to be expecting them to be experts in classroom practice, and that it just doesn't make sense, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I think a really great head teacher has to be able to, for the sake of the kids, the staff, and for themselves, empower their staff to be leaders in their own right. Because they can't do it all, you know. They need to be able to empower everybody to play their role. But that's not all. And what came up a lot in the engagement is that's not the cultures that we always have at the minute. Cultures came up a lot. And what was really refreshing, actually, was that people were really honest about the roles that everyone plays in that. There wasn't a big blame game going on. You know, there was a recognition that sometimes this comes about from head teachers trying to protect their staff from being overloaded, and they're keeping things back, trying to protect them. And also, there was quite often a mention around the fact that sometimes teachers have a view of, that's not my job, I'm not paid to do that. That's a PT's job, or that's a deputy's job. And that contributes to the culture also. It works both ways, if that makes sense.
So, yeah, no.
And there was a real sense of honesty around that in the engagement, that the culture is not quite right in a lot of contexts, but we all play a role in that.
So when you were doing these engagements, who was involved in that, and how were they selected, or how was that organised?
What happened was, Siskel asked me to come up with an engagement approach that could be used in different contexts, in different ways, a different amount of people, that would be innovative and interesting in its own right. So I came up with a workshop approach based on something called Theory U, which has come out of MIT. It's just a way of leading change. And then I sort of put an offer out to, I was just publicly saying, any schools, local authorities would like me to come and do this with you. I was a wee bit worried. I wasn't sure how much of a response we'd get, because it was like November, it was late November, and I finished tomorrow. So it was a really narrow window, not a great time of year. But actually, we got an amazing response. So schools, local authorities got in touch, lots of them saying, yes, please come and run a session for us. Now, a lot of them were twilights for a cluster. Some of them were for a local authority in CPD sort of time. There was a few that were in-service days as part of an in-service day program. So there was a real mix, and you know, I think the smallest workshop there was like 12, the biggest one there was just over 100, and everything in between. There was also, I did a modified version that I could use with individuals and small groups, in a more of a discussion format. There was an online version that was open to everyone that tried to mirror the workshop approach, and I also did a variation that I could use with pupils that I did with a class of primary school pupils and a class of secondary school pupils.
The fact that you got a response, and we're just now at the end of March, and you could organise all this and got 100 up to 100 people, sounds a pretty amazing effort, and maybe indicates that although people maybe didn't understand or thought they didn't understand what teacher leadership was, there was a bit of a demand for it.
No, I was really taken aback by the demand, and you know, it was a bit. I think that was a little. I just hadn't expected the demand, and so I made this big public offer. And within about 2 weeks, I had to start saying no, because it was all timetabled out from December till I stopped 2 weeks ago in order to give me some time to analyse and evaluate and reflect. And that was all filled up in no time at all. So, and then what was interesting was that not only were the people who responded saying, yes, come and we'll organise that with you. Not only were they keen, but then, you know, teachers were turning up in quite significant numbers to the actual sessions, which I, you know, the twilights are a hard thing. You know, it's easy to sign up to a twilight, it's a lot harder to turn up to it. And I was really taken aback by that. And I think that's one of the biggest messages from this piece of engagement work, was the enthusiasm, the receptiveness, the positivity. You know, it was professional, reflective, critical, you know, challenging discussions, but people were really up for engaging with this, and I was quite really struck by that, and I think that's one of the biggest messages that I will take away from this, that I'm trying to get across to others, is that yes, there are challenges in Scottish education at the minute, but we need to not just get bogged down, because there's a lot of positivity and enthusiasm out there. And I'm not sure that we're always hearing that at the minute. I certainly don't feel like I am. And I was really, you know, there were some times, because they were twilights and not always very near to where I live. So I'd be planning ahead, thinking, right, because I'd be leaving this session at, 7 o'clock at night with a long drive and a winter's night ahead of me, so I would have a Red Bull in my car in case I needed it for the drive home. And on the way there, I'd always be thinking, "Oh, I'm definitely going to need that Red Bull. I'm so tired on the way to the session." But very rarely did I need to drink it, because I'd leave absolutely buzzing, because there was just such enthusiasm. It was really quite something.
I think that's always an interesting thing, that lump of tiredness that people get at the end of a day, and if you can get over that, you're doing something right. If you get people smiling as they're leaving a CPD session, that's a nice thing to do. I don't know if you wanted to describe in a wee bit more detail the actual sessions. And I'd also be really interested in the work with the pupils as well.
So the workshops that for teachers, and it wasn't just teachers coming, it was PTs, head teachers, QIOs, there was a director came to one. They were roughly 90 minutes, sometimes 2 hours, and they went through a certain series of stages. So the first stage was about the barriers to developing teacher leadership, and they did that with a snowball activity. So draw a circle, divide it into four, write one barrier, scrumple it, chuck it, get another one, write another different one on it, until you had four different barriers. And then we would discuss what was interesting from what had come out of that. And as I went on, because engaged with over 1,000 folk in the end, and so it became family fortunes in the end. So I'd be saying, you know, the top answer was time, second top answer was workload, and the third top answer was confidence. Those were the three that came up at every session. There were others that came up a lot, like recognition, hierarchies, resources. And then they would, I would talk about that these are all important. We need to have them in our mind, but we need to not get stuck with them. So it finished with trying to get them all in the bin, which was a really nice way to start the session. You know, it sort of set the tone. The second part then was about, well, before we can talk about what teacher leadership is, we need to agree on what the outcomes are from teacher leadership. And the point I would make was the outcomes for leadership in an educational context is outcomes for young people. So I did an activity around, well, what are your purposes for education? Why do you bother getting out of bed in the morning? And they'd share that in their groups, and then I'd present them with an A3 sheet of all the different, like, with some different ideas on it, all in different fonts. And you can see all this on the website, scaleengage.com. And people could find lots of overlaps between their purposes and the ones on this sheet. And then I would reveal that it was actually the four capacities table. I just played around with it to disguise that. And that sometimes got a really big gasp, actually, because people really liked the sheet and all the different things on it. But if I'd printed out the four capacities table, I don't think it would have got the same reaction.
You think people have forgotten they like the four capacities?
It's just that that table has become an image. It's the text is gone to some extent, and when you look at the text out of context, you really like it. It's hard to argue with. The point being that, you know, we have an agreed vision of what it is that we're trying to get out of this business. So we don't need to spend ages navel-gazing about that. Then the bulk of the session was the next stage, where they worked as groups to unpick what is teacher leadership, what does it look like in terms of the attributes of teacher leaders, what they do and the outcomes. And we would discuss that. And then that's when I would then present skills ideas as for a comparison, and we would talk about that, and there was a lot of overlap, but there were some things that people would like changed about the scale definition. Then it moved into, okay, so if that's the vision of teacher leadership that we're looking for, but in my opinion it's aspirational, and I was always really strong to make that point, because I don't like it when people put up these grand visions of what a teacher should be without acknowledging that it's aspirational, it's a vision, because otherwise it can be counterproductive if people are thinking, hang on a minute, that's not realistic, or how am I supposed to do that on top of everything else? And if that's what we can all agree on and it's aspirational, what do we need in order to develop it? And that's when it moved into that stage. But before we talked about what everybody else's contribution to that would be, people first reflected what their contribution was going to be. So, and there was a postcard that they could write to themselves what they're going to do to help achieve that vision of teacher leadership. And then they would explore the others, Scale, but not just Scale, universities, GTC, Education Scotland, you know, whoever they wanted to talk about in terms of what they felt needed done. And then there was postcards that they could write to Scale and the wider Scottish education system. And that was kind of it then. So then I just wrapped it up with explaining the theory new underpinning of all of that and the framework and stuff. And then an evaluation. What I liked about the evaluations was that they evaluated against the purposes being develop your understanding of teacher leadership being the top priority, feel like you've contributed to what is needed to develop teacher leadership, and experiencing a different workshop approach. And the highest evaluated, you know, when I do an average, was the first one about developing your understanding of teacher leadership. So, and I was really anxious to make sure that people felt that it was CPD and that they weren't getting, it wasn't a consultation where they weren't getting anything back. That was my big priority. So I was really pleased that people felt that had been professional learning. And then the pupils bit. The pupils was I grappled with, because you can't go in without talking about teacher leadership with people. So I made it around what makes a good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So they did the snowball activity, but it was around features of a good lesson. And then they did an activity where we talked about learning and learning journals. And Children in Scotland helped me with this. And they lent me a great resource, which was a big, massive picture, a laminated poster of like the mountains and river and railway and roads and sun. And so the children then put on post-its to show their learning journey of something, like learning to ride a bike, learning maths, learning to talk, learning to build a snowman, whatever they wanted. And then after they shared those, and then we talked about all together what was the teaching that helped at each stage in that learning, whatever it was. It doesn't have to be about teacher, but you know, learning to ride a bike, what people do to help you achieve that. And then we did a prioritizing. I rephrased the definition of teacher leadership from the skill framework into a different language, and then chunked it up into a prioritizing sort of a task. And so we did that, and then they finished with writing postcards, but in groups, so like a group of four, writing a postcard to the teachers of Scotland. We think great teachers are. And I have to say, and they wrote with both the classes, they wrote the postcards with their teacher after I'd left, because it took an hour to do everything else, and I was having to go off. And when the teacher showed me the postcards, I nearly cried. It's just amazing. And yet again, you know, I think we underestimate children so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, myself included. And then any time you sort of really, you know, go step out of your comfort zone and do something you're not sure they'll be able to do it, they wow you. Mm-hmm. It was really quite something. And they're really worth looking at. They're on the Skill Engage site. You can see all their posts. They're brilliant.
I think it'd be quite interesting and interesting to compare to the ones that the teachers decided on.
Well, what's amazing, I think, is there's one postcard, and it pretty much says it was P7 Group who wrote it, and it pretty much says what is in the scale framework definition.
Mm-hmm.
About what you know. I'll read it out to you. I'm just finding it just now. It says, we think good teachers are, where is it? It's this one. People that care more about their pupils than teaching itself. They make differences that could change children's lives and boost confidence. Teachers have to connect with pupils and know what they need and when they need it. A key quality a teacher should have is to be able to get along well with staff. We think a teacher is a role model and a person that is sensible, caring, and understanding.
Well, yeah, it's quite a lot to live up to. It's a good challenge card, maybe.
I think they probably
just
nailed it.
The deep kids. I'd have struggled to get a quarter of that myself, I think. That's impressive. So the what is needed to develop it, maybe then? Have you come up with an easy to follow 3-step recipe?
No. I mean, what I'm at the minute is I'm picking out themes.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was, because I was, you know, it was just me, so I was there for every session, apart from the online, which I've just read. But I initially sat down and just sort of picked out some theme for my own thoughts and reflections on it all. What were the key themes? And then what I did the other day was I color-coded each of those themes and went back through the postcards a lot more systematically to see, do those themes cover what people actually said when they actually wrote it down? And they did. I had to add an extra theme that I hadn't thought of myself. But apart from that, they pretty much covered it. So those were time and workload. And there needs to be a reprioritization. You know, people, we need to be thinking in schools, what are we using time for? And what is its, what impact is it having? Because, you know, there was over and over again, there were discussions around the fact that, yes, we need more time. That's not coming, but we have a lot of time that we're not using particularly well. In terms of, if you actually, you know, in-service days came up a lot. To what extent are in-service days having an impact? And, you know, I think if you actually were to, some in-service days I've been a party of, if you were to, if you know, if you were to cost that and evidence impact, it would not paint a good picture. So that came up a lot. And also workload. You know, why are we doing what we're doing? Is it having an impact? So that was a biggie. I was surprised, though, when I went through colour coding the postcards, that opportunities was much more prominent. So there are two major issues around that. One is that people need more and better opportunities for professional learning.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of talk around the need for professional learning to develop as classroom teachers, and the ability to lead on classroom practice. There was a feeling that there weren't a lot of relevant professional learning opportunities out there that were accessible. And actually, quite often, when there were professional learning opportunities that were around leadership, they were to do with promotion.
Yeah.
They were either courses to help you get promoted or courses to help you when you are promoted. But they didn't feel that there was a lot of professional learning opportunities around being a teacher leader, the sorts of things that we were discussing in the sessions. But the other side of opportunities that people felt were that there weren't a lot of opportunities to gain experience, secondments, acting posts, you know, things like this. I've been able to take on responsibilities. They didn't feel that there was a consistent approach to that, and if there were, you weren't supported, and it wasn't seen as professional learning.
Right, I'm thinking maybe some of the things that people will be asked to lead on in a school might be more practical tasks, as opposed to leading on, let's say, classroom practice, for instance.
But I don't think we should exclude that. Because it's all a big continuum. Sometimes there's different ways of being a teacher leader. I don't think it's all one size fits all. But even when dealing with those sorts of examples, people felt that actually if you had the opportunity, you were kind of just left to it, and it was just get it done, but there wasn't a lot of professional learning around it.
Yeah.
Or the opposite extreme was that you were micromanaged and not trusted to do it well.
Hmm.
But by and large, actually, most of the time it was to do with lack of these sorts of things. And also a lot of issues around communication, so that people recognised that there were probably more opportunities out there, but they were not hearing about them. And there's issues with communication and publicising all of this. And making people realise that it is for them. Even my sessions, some people were saying, I think there are some people didn't come to this because they think it wasn't for them. They thought it wasn't for them. If that makes sense. So I clearly hadn't got the message out well enough that it was for classroom teachers. They included classroom teachers, if that makes sense.
I think that speaks to your very initial, you know, the people coming along say, you tell us what teacher leadership is. So if they're not sure what it is, they probably think it's for somebody else.
Exactly.
It's a chicken and egg sort of situation you've got yourself there.
Another big theme that was coming up a lot that is around recognition. Now, that's on a whole, there's a whole spectrum there. So ranging from, you know, we're needing something like charter teacher back or APT posts, you know, you're needing, we're needing a salary and a title,
mm-hmm.
to some people just wanting the title with maybe some time, or some people just saying it would be good to just have some sort of title, all the way down to a thank you and showing an interest. So there was a huge scale of the on the recognition front, you know, people really feeling that if you do sort of really, if you got close to that vision that those P7 pupils outlined, then
yeah,
no one would ever notice. No one, people feel that there's, it, you don't get any sort of recognition for that. And I was quite taken aback, actually, by some of the comments around, would it be nice if someone showed an interest, or it would be nice to get a thank you, or, you know, some really simple stuff. But also there was talk around, it would be good to have a nationally recognised something that you could aspire, that you could work towards, that would, that, that you could achieve and would mean something, even if it didn't bring time or money.
I suppose that's maybe, especially now, because I know quite a lot of schools and local authorities are cutting out the number of promoted posts in school.
Yeah.
And, you know, the teachers that were put in charge of something that wasn't directly curricular, say, in a secondary school, and some of those posts are going away.
Yeah.
So maybe there needs to be some sort of...
And there was a lot of talk around the need. You know, some people obviously said that that shouldn't be happening and we need the return of... but it was interesting, there were some people, I think accidentally, were arguing for the reduction in PT posts because they would be... Well, they'd find themselves saying, oh, you know, when there used to be more PTs... Well, now when there's no PTs, I get more opportunities to take on. And I would say, oh, so are you saying it's better now? And they go, no.
Well, I think there's obviously a conflict in interest with that because of the salaried effect on a PT. Yeah. And but I guess we don't want to get into the position where there is a system of developing teacher leaders that are only acknowledged by, you know, more work. And, you know, so you've got to figure out the balance between pay and acknowledgement and all these other things.
And the thing is that, because it all starts getting messy, because we start getting to the actually leadership being about promotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we go back to the definition about it being basically an accomplished teacher, the sort of the vision set out in the standard for career-long professional learning, you know, then that... You know, that's not necessarily a post that is for everyone.
Yeah.
And so it does, but at the same time, whilst people could recognise that, they were saying, but it would be good to have something to aspire to, something to be working towards, that had a, but that wasn't just a badge, that there was a professional learning build up to it. You know, I quite often liken it to Skills Fellowship programme where the head teachers, where there's a programme of learning, then there's an assessment, an award, and then an expectation to do something with it. But that's kind of the sort of things that people were talking about, that it would be good to have something where, you know, there was a program of learning that had a nationally recognized standard and status, and then a sort of that with an expectation that you did certain things as a result, that was accessible and all of that. So that's a complex, but it came up a lot, the recognition, but from lots of different perspectives. Another biggie was sharing practice, talking to other teachers, case studies, shadowing, networking, observing, hearing from other teachers.
Mm-hmm.
That came up lots. And it was quite... I don't know, it was really interesting because quite often the start of the sessions would be about time and money.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded quite impossible at that point because you know, we know that it's going to be hard to get more of either.
Yeah. Yeah.
But by the end of the session, I'd be listening and looking at what people were saying, and actually, it's much more doable than it had seemed at the start of the session. You know, and that's, this is slightly on a tangent, but that's what's, are you still there?
Yeah, that's all right. I'm nodding away here, Fergo.
I heard a Skype noise there. And that's on a different front. That's, at the minute, I'm sort of saying, whatever happened to TeachMeet? But that's that's driving that, because I'm just sitting thinking, wait a minute, we were doing this, and we're not as much as we were. And there's something about teacher leadership. You know, if we to develop teacher leadership, we're wanting to share and network and all of that. But also, surely, as part of that, we wouldn't be just sitting back and waiting.
So a teacher should maybe
for the teachers to do it for us.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be great if we had some sort of model that was teacher-led that resulted in lots of sharing of practice and networking? Mm-hmm. Hang on a minute, that rings a bell. we have that, but we've stopped doing it as much as we were doing it.
It may be interesting to, I don't know if you want to talk a wee bit about that, because you had quite a well-responded to blog post on the whole TeachMeet thing and sort of rebooting it or re-energising it in Scotland.
Yeah, and it's because I've been trying to do it in my own capacity, not as a scale person. But it's being driven by that, by these conversations, to be honest, because I had a really great conversation with a deputy in one of the secondaries, and it was before a session, and he follows on Twitter and stuff, and he'd been talking about TeachMeets, and I was talking about Pedagogy and how I'd stopped organising TeachMeets in the sense of 7 2-minutes in an evening, and started organising these longer format TeachMeets, which have turned into Pedagogy events, but they are just longer format TeachMeets, and saying how I love TeachMeets, but I personally was beginning to feel the need for something a bit longer and deeper. And he said one sentence to me that's really stuck. He said, that sounds a lot more to do with what you want and a lot less to do with what everyone else needs. And it really challenged me, actually. I thought, hang on a minute, he's right. That is what I want. But actually, the vast majority of the teachers that I spoke to, I've never heard of a teacher. Well, I probably have never been to a teach meet or would love a teach meet.
But I hadn't heard of them, yeah.
Yeah, or, I mean, I don't know, but
I mean, I
appreciate one, and it would tick the box that there's a lot of people that came up, you know, that need. It would address the need that came up a lot. And it would, because they have the same sort of vibe that I was aiming for in terms of participatory and informal and fun and you know, leaving with a smile in your face. You know, that's something you said right at the start, CPD, that you leave with a smile on your face. I think we underestimate that at our peril in the drive for impact. Because if teachers, okay, you might go to teach me and not pick up anything that you directly use on a Monday the next day, but you might approach your own practice and your learners with a different mindset, and that's more powerful than picking up a new website or something.
So do you think maybe I'm thinking of this myself, the thing about TeachMeets that is maybe was important was that it gave people the chance to practice that sort of leadership role.
I can't speak for everyone else, and I think that what I like about the idea of getting it back is that let's talk about that. From my own perspective, it was an essential part of my journey, attending a TeachMeet. Which I first did in I think 2007 was an important first step, and and then attending another, and then presenting, and then organising them. They're a big part of my journey, and I'll never forget them. I remember my first teach meets so vividly, and sort of I'll be honest with you, I wasn't sure that I was doing the right thing going to it, and I had planned something for halfway through it,
mm-hmm.
so that I could have a way of leaving in case it was rubbish. I was very skeptical of this whole world, and needed it and convincing at the very outset, and that opened my eyes, and gradually. So now, I don't think I used many of the actual ideas that I heard on the night, maybe one or two, but it certainly had a much bigger impact on me than that.
Well, I think maybe one of the things is this idea that you see people using their own ideas.
Yeah.
That in a teach meet, generally people don't talk about things that they have done because there's been a local authority or a national movement or edict or whatever. It's usually people talk about something that they have come to from themselves or from some other area, rather than sort of from the let's call it the command and control structure of Scottish education, come right down from the government through the local authorities to the schools. It's stuff that bubbled up, and certainly I feel that when I was going to early ones, that I had ideas. I mean, I'm not saying good or bad, but I had ideas, and the fact that people listened to me made me think, "Oh, right, that might be an okay idea to keep on following."
Yeah,
and it's maybe not. And I always think of Pettigrew as being the sort of deeper, younger child of Teach Me, and that certainly we didn't really think about impact or anything like that in the early days, except people would say, "Oh, well, the kids love this," or something like that, or "this engaged," or whatever. But it was very personal and it was unmeasured, I guess.
And I always saw it as a continuum. I never had the intention of, when I started doing Pettigrew format, I never saw it as being a replacement. What I was trying to get was a continuum. So, like, after you've been to 5 teach meets, and you presented at them and you've organised them, I personally started craving something else as well. But I'd still love to teach meet, but I would like something else as well, if that makes sense. And I didn't feel that it needed to always have the same format. I think we could do with getting that back, because I think it would really help address some of that these issues that are coming up. Let me finish my themes. Because we could talk about this all night, really. Yeah. So, the next one was really interesting because I hadn't thought of it at all before I went into this, and that was mentoring beyond the NQT year. This came up loads as something people feel would be really good to develop. Sometimes in the form of, if you've taking on a sort of a task, then it would be good to have a mentor. But sometimes people are talking about in a really broad sense that it would be good to have a mentor that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really quite struck by that. And sometimes we started exploring how that could work, and it could be a role for someone who has been doing a lot of this sort of stuff and leading a classroom practice in their school. They could be a mentor for a group of staff that's maybe not once a week, it's maybe once a month or something. And it wouldn't be, it wouldn't be a compulsory thing. That was really interesting. Another big theme was equity. There was a real consistent issue around people feel that even if where there are opportunities, they go to the same people over again, and that there are cliques within schools, and that people would be up for doing things, but they're not asked, they're not offered to them. And that quite often there is a feeling that sometimes senior leadership teams, if they're needing something done or they want someone to do something, they'll pick someone who they know will do it well.
Yeah.
Rather than thinking, oh, who would learn lots from this and would be able to do it well with the right support? There was a lot of talk around equity in general, and you know, professional learning opportunities should be open to all, and it shouldn't be all taps on the shoulder. We need to be developing everyone as teacher leaders, not the keen beans or the learnistas, you know, or the edu geeks. Or this is, you know, everyone's needing nurtured here, not just the few.
Hmm.
And then the other theme, the one that sort of started coming out as I was highlighting the postcards that I hadn't written down beforehand, was the leadership at all levels. That this is needing this culture change is needing influence to all levels, teachers, but also learners, PTs, head teachers, local authorities, Scottish Government, initial teacher education, and everybody has a role to play in this, because it's a culture change is what came up again and again, which is required from everybody in the system to play a part in that. And you know, I always think about Mark Priestley's work about teacher agency when that comes up, because he talks a lot about the fact that agency is not something an individual has alone. It also depends on the context. So I think I have a fair amount of agency as a teacher in my school.
Yeah.
But if you put me in a different school, I'm the same person, but I have a significantly less agency, because the context plays a big, big part in my ability to be the sort of teacher leader that I'm trying to be. And I think that overlaps really strongly with what was coming out across the engagement work.
And I guess you need both permission from the management and above, but you also need permission from your peers.
Yeah, peers came up a lot. I mean, a thing I always said about when the confidence came up as a barrier, I always said, because I was a bit, the trouble with confidence as a barrier to development teacher leader is it sounds like a bit of a blame game on teachers. You're not confident enough.
Yeah.
You need to be more confident. I don't think that's particularly helpful, because what I was saying was if we're defining teacher leadership as sharing, being a really good teacher and sharing that with you, those around you, and if it takes a whole ton of confidence to share your practice with your peers, what does that say about the cultures within which we work? You know, there's something not right there. And also, what has been going on in the last 20 years or whatever of your career, if you've been a teacher for 20 years and you're lacking lots of confidence, you know, what has been in place to develop your confidence? And actually, probably the opposite. A lot of cases, and you know, a lot of people talk about the fact that their confidence had been knocked throughout the course of their career, and they'd learned not to put their name down for stuff and not to sign up for that course, because then if you go on a course, then you have to stand up in front of your staff in your staff room and present. You know, there was all sorts of issues around. And I think that, you know, there's a whole system needs to play a part in valuing the development of confidence.
I wonder if
confidence of senior leadership teams as well came up quite a lot, and people acknowledged that, you know, quite often head teachers are operating in a difficult context where it's difficult for them to do what they know they need to do. Requires a lot of confidence, because it feels like it's breaking the rules or it's going out with the norm of their peers. So confidence came up a lot.
I wonder when there's a Scottish sort of cultural thing people always talk about, you know, tall grass gets chopped down first. And what area can you be confident in? It's sometimes if you're taking, and I think to get back to the sort of, you know, CPD or teach meets or whatever, when you're out of your normal circumstance, sometimes that is a place where your confidence can be nurtured, maybe.
Mm. The other thing was that there was a really great answer to, it was one of the small group discussions where I asked, when have you seen effective teacher leadership? There's a really nice answer once where someone talked about, there was a colleague in their school had led a twilight of their staff. But it was a much bigger story than that. So first of all, she'd led it brilliantly and seemed really confident. They were really surprised when they spoke to the person afterwards that they had been terrified. Mm-hmm. And they had been really scared. But the reason they'd done it was because they had really been using this practice with their pupils consistently over a couple of years and had really honed it and had seen the impact. And so they knew their stuff, because they'd been doing it and they'd seen the impact, so they knew it was worth sharing because they knew that other kids in the school could be benefiting from this approach. And so that is what had actually propelled them to go for it. And then the other feature was that beyond the twilight, this teacher had supported their colleagues when they tried it out. She would come in and team teach and work with them, and it had carried on and had been really supportive beyond. So it wasn't just this one twilight. You know, there was a story that led up to it, and a story that led after it. But what I really liked about it was the confidence to go over the top came from that knowing your stuff. And having seen that it worked. And I think that's what gets people up at Teach Meets as well. Because it's, I've done this, and it worked. Therefore, I'm happy to stand up and say. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I think I was really interested in Robert Jones's comments around this, because he was very much focused on the impact.
Mm.
And I think he was talking about this impact of people taking something away from the teach meet, and I think maybe we're talking about it's not necessarily the thing that somebody's showing you; it's the whole experience that is that. And as you say, it might not be the be all and end all of CPD. It just might be something that somebody needs at a certain point, or a certain point of their evolution, or whatever, as a teacher and whatever.
And then going back to that initial point about the key thing being the positivity, the enthusiasm, the fact that on a winter's night, like in rural Aberdeenshire in particular, you were getting, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 teachers from one cluster turning up for twilight about teacher leadership. There's an enthusiasm out there, everywhere I went, the majority of the teachers there were really keen, and the big message was, what's next? What comes next? And that's the big challenge going forwards, to not lose that momentum.
So that's it. And what comes next maybe needs to be a combination of leadership from above, but also organisation and leadership from the teaching population, I guess.
Yeah.
It's maybe just spreading the word. That's one of the other things I think about the self-organised things, that certain people will notice these things first and will become involved, but it's getting them spread out further that's maybe the tricky thing.
Yeah.
You're saying about people getting involved on Twitter, say, and hearing about these things from there, but that's, I think, still a very minority sport.
Oh, yeah.
There's lots of teachers who you know, would never think of being on Twitter for educational purposes. They might tweet along with BBC Question Time or, you know, the Big Brother house or something like that, but that's not, they don't see it as personal.
It's a minority sport, and we need to, I think it's very easy for those of us who are on Twitter to forget that, that this is not the norm, and most teachers are not remotely interested in using Twitter at all. Or in this way, so we need to break beyond that for sure if we're going to support. That's what I love about the power of Skell, because I think they have that potential to reach out beyond. You know, I think if I tried to do what I've just done using the Pedigree name or the or TeachMe or something, it wouldn't have had the reach.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's something about the name Skell that I think broadens the reach, which allows them to have a wider impact, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly sounds that you've had a really solid initial impact in this first few months, and it's going to be interesting to see how that develops and how Skell take that forward, as well as people that you've talked to.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So you said scaleengage.com is a link. There's Skell itself, which is just
scaleScotland.org.uk.
And we'll have that in the show notes.
A brand new website. Shiny new website.
Yeah. Skell Scotland, there's the Skell Engage,
and the scaleframework.com is the resource that I mentioned as well.
Right, so I think maybe you can send me these links and I'll add to the ones that I've got there, because I'm not going to start clacking on the keyboard because I've been getting complaints. But you're F. Kelly on Twitter, and also for a while you've been, is it F. Kelly underscore Skell?
Fergal underscore Skell. Which is not great because Fergal's not easy to spell, so F. Kelly is easier, and you can find me there.
So, F. Kelly on Twitter. And you've got a site of your own, which is fkelly.co.uk.
That's right.
Which is worth following and seeing what's going on. I think we've covered an awful lot here, Fergal. You've given a fantastic overview of the work you've been doing. Is there anything else you want to mention in sort of rounding up?
First of all, a massive thank you to you for giving me the opportunity to do this, because, and a massive thank you to if anyone who is listening who contributed to the engagement process, because it was quite something. It'll live with me for a long time. It was a real privilege to go out to so many teachers in so many contexts and listen and talk to them. But I feel a sort of now a massive pressure to communicate their voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked so many of them in the eye and told them that they would be listened to.
Yeah.
So having opportunities like this to actually try and, you know, obviously I'm not representing everybody's voice, but to try and synthesize that down into some messages and then getting that out there is really good, because it's people committed so much energy into the process that I now have responsibility to pass that on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that speaks to the professionalism and, I guess, leadership of the general teaching population, that they can, on a cold February evening, be enthusiastic and engaged in discussing these things.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I'm just going to say a huge thank you to you, Virgil. It's been a complete privilege to talk to you. And the archive for this, along with the links, will be up on edutalk.cc over the next couple of days. And I'm just going to hang up the broadcast now. So we'll say goodnight to anybody that's listening.
Thank you. Good night.
Cheers.